Well, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. Briefly, I'm going to speak about the role of local manufacturers in producing essential malaria commodities in Nigeria and Uganda case studies. And this is just the APHA disclosure statement that was required for us to upload. So, but I wanted to tell you a bit about the project. With funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and support from the Rollback Malaria Partnership, the Malaria Tax and Tariffs Advocacy Project, or MTAP, is a two-year program implementing evidence-based and targeted advocacy on taxes, tariffs, and non-tariff barriers as they relate to the importation of anti-malaria commodities into endemic countries. Now, there's a wide agreement among stakeholders that trade-related barriers remain a significant obstacle to increased access to anti-malaria commodities. Taxes, tariffs, and other bottlenecks that occur during port clearance procedures can significantly delay the delivery of these goods, especially during peak periods of needs. And this invariably affects the availability and the access of commodities to end users. So my presentation specifically concerns primary data collection in Nigeria and Uganda, and it's separated into three parts. First, I'm going to briefly speak on the potential long-term benefits of local manufacturing. Second, some disincentives for local manufacturing. And finally, challenges that manufacturers encounter in local industries. And I'm going to concentrate specifically on the productions of medicines and insecticide-treated nets because that was the most robust information that we gathered from the field assessments. And then I'm also going to specifically focus on small and medium enterprises and how they fit in this whole equation. So the primary objective, as Karen stated before, of the project was to identify and mitigate the direct and indirect effects of taxes, tariffs, and non-tariff barriers as they're applied to anti-malaria commodities. There were four case study countries, which included Benin, Cambodia, in addition to Nigeria and Uganda. And each of these countries were identified as having a high malaria burden, a robust in-country malaria control effort, and substantial donor funding. Another selection criteria was the current fiscal practice of levying taxes and tariffs on these essential malaria commodities, with the exception of Uganda, which had removed taxes and tariffs on all finished goods soon after the Africa Summit of 2000. And so in terms of targeted advocacy, the project saw gains in partnerships, such as with the one with the African Leaders Malaria Alliance, and through international media coverage, such as op-eds in the Wall Street Journal, The Guardian, and Financial Times. And what's so significant here with the partnerships and op-eds is that they essentially stand as avenues to leadership that make and influence policies to support local manufacturing. So the theme of the meeting is social justice, and so I wanted to frame the presentation within some type of social justice context. And to my understanding, social justice generally refers to the idea of creating a society that's based on equality and understands and recognizes the dignity of every human being. So of course, we're all familiar with the Millennium Development Goal targets. I focused on 4, 5, 6, and 8. 4 is to reduce under 5 mortality rates, and 5 is to reduce the maternal mortality ratio. And pregnant women and children under 5 are some of the most affected, some of the populations that are most affected by malaria. Number 6 is to reverse the incidence of malaria by expanding the use of commodities such as bed nets and medicines. And finally, number 8 is in global cooperation with pharmaceutical companies provide access to affordable medicines. The Abuja Declaration is pretty significant in the taxes and tariffs calculus. In 2000, African heads of states and government pledged to reduce or waive taxes and tariffs on essential goods and services that are needed for malaria control. Also, the World Health Assembly of Resolution of 2008, which identified key interventions such as insecticide-treated bed nets, medicines, specifically artemisinin-based combination therapy, indoor residual spraying, and intermittent preventative treatment in pregnancy. And part of that resolution was to set and define a coverage target of 80% and to supplement an additional resolution of the UN General Assembly, which basically the member states reaffirmed their commitment to achieve MDG 2015 targets by increasing international funding. And the most recent pronouncement is the ALMA resolution that was adopted in at the African Union Summit in Kampala, Uganda this year. And basically, two components of the resolution was to remove taxes and tariffs and non-tariff barriers that can delay access and increase cost of life-saving commodities, and also to increase the local manufacturing of the malaria commodities, specifically in sub-Saharan Africa. So my understanding with all of these resolutions is that they're these progressive realizations that equal access to healthcare, to commodities and services is a basic human right. So the methodology, basically after consultation with key stakeholders, there was a pretest of the interview schedules in Uganda. Uganda was the first field assessment, Nigeria was the third. And after we tested the interview schedule, a semi-structured master interview guide was developed and it was used in subsequent field assessments. So in Nigeria, of those 37 interviews, about 8 were local manufacturers. And in Uganda, of those 36, about 2 were. So, potential long-term benefits, from local manufacturing. It's important to note that local manufacturers in New Nigeria and Uganda do not have the production capabilities to meet the global demand for essential malaria commodities. However, international funding is also unpredictable and it vacillates depending on donor interest. Regarding mobilization of resources, of course, one also could argue that if an endemic country had to fund malaria control out of its own budget, it too would look to procure from the cheapest producers, and those might not be necessarily local. However, there are benefits for procuring locally, especially for governments, in view of the fact that procurement processes can take up to 3 to 9 months. Oftentimes, you'll find national malaria control programs missing distribution schedules, which causes delay in service delivery and sometimes stockouts. Equally, distributors are not willing to import large volumes of commodities because costs associated with bottlenecks during port clearance procedures increase the price of goods, making them unaffordable to most people in these endemic countries. And also, another benefit is local production is a proven way to maintain jobs and investments inside of these countries. And also in regards to ownership, local manufacturing produces products that also match local needs and consumer preferences, therefore affecting ownership and use. So some disincentives. There are some financial mechanisms, such as government export incentives for some producers in India. India owns a large market share in producing insecticide-treated nets because of a rich industrial history in textiles. And also, there's competition with products that are produced as a result of corporate social responsibility programs at no profit, and other forms of subsidies that lower the price of commodities to the point where SMEs or small and medium enterprises are unable to compete. So one of the reasons SMEs are unable to compete is due in part to the fact that they lack financial and technical capital. And this capital can be anywhere from lack of machinery, lack of expertise, lack of lab facilities that are used for quality control. And all these are essential to meeting good manufacturing practices for WHO pre-qualification status and recommendations under WHOBES. In Nigeria specifically, local manufacturers must pay a 5% value-added tax on all raw materials used in production. Beyond standard port processing fees, a large proportion of imported raw materials and also intermediate goods accrue these storage fees or demurrage due to port congestion and chronic delays in clearing imported goods. Now, some of these charges are officially identified as inland container depot fees or bonded warehouse fees, storage fees, and typically they can amount to over $400 per 400-foot container per day. And then also there are barriers with registration and specifically with the Nigerian National Agency for Food and Drug Administration and Control, which is a parallel to our FDA. Those application fees are about $450 per product license registration. And in the event that NAFDAC also requires local trials for drugs or chemicals, specifically clinical trial costs for insecticide-treated nets can be considerable, ranging from $10,000 to $100,000. In Uganda, taxes and tariffs are applied to raw materials and some intermediate goods, and those rates vary by item. For efficacy tests for medicines, the National Drug Authority in Uganda, the NDA, charges about $53 for every batch number. And it also costs local manufacturers about $1,000 to register a drug with the NDA in Uganda, an additional $4,000 for the NDA to inspect their production sites. And each year there must be a $300 retention fee paid to maintain the registration and national formularies. So these agencies, NAFDAC and the NDA, for sure they're in place to ensure quality and the efficacy of these commodities through the regulation, and control and production. But they also stand as significant barriers to entry for local producers, SMEs, operating on small economies of scale. And there are other costs associated with production, infrastructural, such as a lot of manufacturers must purchase fuel for generators. Electricity is unpredictable and problematic, and they're usually on generators more than 50% of the time. And just poor roadways and issues of transport impact SMEs especially. So quickly, this is a recent resolution by RBM during their 18th board meeting on the manufacturing of ACTs locally in malaria-endemic countries. And it basically advocates approaches and activities which would lead to an increase in the number of ACT manufacturers meeting WHO pre-qualification standards, especially in sub-Saharan Africa. And much of this MTAP supports, especially private sector development as it relates to import procedures, because really nothing else could happen, production, the attainment of GMP or, you know, any type of product registration unless there are no inputs in the country for manufacturing to take place. So some of the policy implications, MTAP wants to applaud measures taken by African governments already to increase access to anti-malaria commodities. For instance, Uganda eliminated taxes and tariffs on all finished goods used in malaria control. Nigeria has removed taxes and tariffs from long-lasting insecticidal nets and provides exemption status in the form of waivers for other goods. Also in Nigeria, NAFDAC recently developed a website that offers some guidance on the registration of regulated products and quality control standards. However, there's still a need for considerable attention to be placed on local industries that in some ways can assist in meeting the demand for essential malaria commodities. So basically, MTAP's call to action specifically asks for taxes to be eliminated or waived on raw materials used in production. This reduces the cost of production for many SMEs, and it also increases market access to other endemic in other endemic countries. Also, perhaps potentially address how market distorting subsidies and donated goods have an influence on how competitive local industry can be. Though subsidized and donated goods definitely increase access, they also suppress competition and could prevent product innovation, which is extremely important in view of the changing face of malaria, and especially with resistance to anti-malarial drugs. And this could perhaps be remedied by providing export incentives or even some form of subsidies to allow these nascent industries to mature a bit. And of course, in some way, harmonize product registration by region or trade bloc. For instance, if a Nigerian firm wants to export to maybe Benin or Senegal, Nigeria is part of ECOWAS, Benin and Senegal are part of WAMU, perhaps there can be some standardization regarding, you know, quality control expectations, packaging, and language requirements. So there's not these barriers that one encounter for each country in which they want to conduct business. And so I would like to thank you and acknowledge the Bill and Melinda Gates for funding the project, the support from the Roback Malaria Partnership, also the National Malaria Control Programs of Nigeria and Uganda, MTAP's partner, Africa Fighting Malaria. The Academy for Educational Development is leads the project, but our partners are Africa Fighting Malaria, Ogilvy Public Relations in Washington, D.C., and the William Davidson Institute of the University of Michigan. And we do have information on a website, and you can just go to mtap.org, and you'll find us there. Thank you for your time.